Community members up the highway from Haines are organizing a meeting to discuss the future of the empty Mosquito Lake School. And a Ketchikan company will soon begin collecting and recycling scrap metal from around Southeast. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Mosquito Lake and Highway residents are gathering next week to talk about how the community might use the empty Mosquito Lake School. Margaret Friednauer has more.
The Haines District School Board voted in the spring to close the school after enrollment dropped in the last few years. The school only had 6 students registered last year. It needs at least 10 to receive state funding. The building is owned by the Haines Borough, which took steps to mothball it, keeping it heated to about 50 degrees and disposing of some of the school equipment. Former Mayor Stephanie Scott had expressed interest in selling the building, and according to Borough Manager Dave Sosa, he's taken preliminary steps in that direction, including having its value assessed. But the school board wanted the building to be used again as a school if at least 10 students were interested in attending in the future, says school board president Anne-Marie Palmieri.
When we closed the school, it was our intent that if there were 10 students who wanted to go to the school in the future, that we could reopen it. That being said, it isn't our building.
Some community members are surprised the borough is thinking of selling the building. Edie Granger said she and 2 other Mosquito Lake residents recently met with Sosa to ask if they could use the building for a meeting and community activities. She had a list of 8 families interested in using the school for an open gym and others interested in holding a playgroup there.
I just brought a couple of ideas because I wanted to start small. I kind of wanted to just, you know, crack the door and then see where we could go from there. Not ask too much was my idea.
Granger started a Facebook page to discuss other ideas like a yoga class and movie night. Some people commented on the page that several years ago, the school used to host activities at the building several nights a week and was staffed by the district's community education director. But Sosa told Granger the building could not be used this year. He said there's no money budgeted to heat the building or provide any staff to manage it. He said he would consider a proposal for community use of the building in next year's budget, but said there would be many details to work out, including insurance, liability, and how to staff and maintain it.
It's not as simple as saying we have a building, let's let people use it.
Sosa says he's in favor of trying to sell the building and collect the property tax for the borough. Granger said she's hopeful the Mosquito Lake and Highway community can brainstorm a way to keep it as a community gathering place and possibly a school in the future. Her daughter attended Mosquito Lake School until it closed last year and now attends Clukwan School. She said the process of getting rid of the building seems to be moving more quickly than anyone expected. And for a community that has such a long and emotional attachment to it, it's not going to be easy to let it go.
What it feels like to me is like it was closed very unceremoniously. I mean, there's people up here that went to school there, and now they have kids that go to school there, or could go to school there, or did go to school there, and could still if it was open, you know. So there's this generational thing going on. I mean, it's means a lot to a lot of people up here, and I don't know if folks really understand that.
A gathering is planned for Tuesday evening for residents of the Mosquito Lake and the Highway area to discuss the future of the building. Granger said the time and place is yet to be determined, but people can join the Facebook page called Friends of Mosquito Lake School and Community Center to stay updated. It already has 81 members. Reporting in Haines, I'm Margaret Friednauer.
A Ketchikan company will soon begin collecting and recycling scrap metal from Southeast Alaska communities. The region's Solid Waste Authority, representing 8 cities, recently chose Pool Engineering to provide the service. Authority member Carl Johnson, Wrangell's Public Works Director, says junk cars and similar waste is an ongoing problem.
All the communities in Southeast have been having trouble for years dealing with predictable scrap metal removal. things pile up and they can't seem to get rid of them in a regular and timely fashion.
The authority began about 5 years ago with the goal of lowering garbage disposal costs in the region. It already has a contract for barging trash and some recyclables south. Johnson says scrap metal rates have yet to be determined, but once they're in place, Pool Engineering will collect, remove, and sell junk cars and other materials. Other communities will also be able to use the service, along with Southeast construction companies and other businesses. Johnson says the contractor will provide training for local governments.
Everybody's kind of pre-processing their scrap metal a little differently. You know, you're supposed to pull the tires and fluids out of cars, and there could be some sorting of different waste that'll make it easier and more profitable, both for them and for the communities.
The Southeast Alaska Solid Waste Authority includes Petersburg, Wrangell, and six cities on Prince of Wales Island. They're Craig, Kluwak, Thorne Bay, Kasan, Heidelberg, and Kaufman Cove. It's unclear if Haines or Skagway will be included in the service. Spawn on kelp fishery in Hoonah Sound will remain closed in the 2015 season for the second year in a row. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced the closure this week after forecasts for the area predicted herring numbers far below the threshold required for commercial harvest. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The Hoonah Sound spawn on kelp fishery is a different animal than its cousin 50 miles to the south, the Sitka Sound Sack Roe herring fishery. The main difference is that the fish survive in Hoonah, and only their eggs are harvested. Nevertheless, assistant management biologist Eric Kuhnrat says there just aren't enough herring to risk it.
You know, we saw eggs on the beach in 2012, and the fish didn't materialize for 2013. So it's hard to say, but there's something that's killing fish or not allowing fish to come back.
The forecast calls for 721 tons of herring to return to Hoonah Sound, about 280 tons below the threshold needed to harvest eggs. And it's a fraction of the fish that have been known to come back to the area. Kuhnrat says ADF&G has recorded returns as high as 20,000 tons. As a biologist, Kuhnrat is reluctant to guess what's causing the low returns, but he's pretty sure it's natural, possibly a disease event associated with the huge returns of just a few years ago.
Usually these disease events hit one end of the age group or another, but in this case, it seemed to hit all age groups fairly equally, so that kind of puts a question mark into what happened, you know, whether they're spawning elsewhere, or if it was a, you know, a significant die-off.
There are 109 permit holders in the Hoonah Sound spawn-on kelp fishery. The economic impact of the closure is hard to pin down since it's a niche product. The same permit covers Tenneke Inlet, which remained open last year, though volumes of herring there are typically smaller than in Hoonah. Still, it's going to sting. According to Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission data, spawn-on kelp permits have nearly doubled in value over the last 8 years and now go for around $35,000. There's even been a slight uptick in permit value over the last year when the fishery was first shut down. Kuhnrat says that under the right conditions, herring can rebound quickly.
If we have a good ocean survival of larvae and juvenile, in 1 year we can see a huge increase in the biomass. That used to be the case for Sitka Sound. You know, you'd have one big year class that would kind of carry it for a couple of years. And, you know, we very well could see that with Hoonah Sound. You know, we haven't seen it in a while, so we've seen this steady recruitment, but one good survival event of juveniles could bring this fishery back.
The Hoonah Sound and Sitka Sound herring stocks are genetically related, but Kuhnrat says they're treated as separate populations. Swings in biomass in one area may not necessarily be reflected in the other. Still, ADF&G is forecasting one of the lowest herring returns in years in Sitka too, and there's been political pressure from the Sitka tribe and others to dramatically curb sack roe fishing. Hoonah is the less controversial fishery, and Kuhnrat is hoping the closure does its job.
I think it's concerning. Our limitations are to prevent any, you know, further harvest on the resource, and we've done that. We've closed the fishery, and the fishery won't reopen until, you know, the population reaches threshold. And I think we are where we are, and there's not much more we can do about it at this point in time.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks to Margaret Friedenauer, Ed Schoenfeld, and Robert Woolsey for help with this report.